Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here. Getaway Friday night, Friday, August the 7th, 2026. First Friday in the month of August, joined in studio tonight by Matt Morgan. Matt, how you doing?
Doing pretty well.
Big show tonight at 10 o'clock. What's coming up?
Tonight we are going to be talking about the flock cameras as we have the last few weeks. But we're also going to be talking about some, just national level politics and some things happening at the state level.
And now joining us freshly back, less than a week from Washington, D.C., Christian Pearson. Christian, how you doing?
I am great. I'm great. You know, Scott, it's not as hot here, which is great.
Oh, you mean not just in the studio?
No,
in general.
In general, it's great. Now, I mean, this studio is pretty hot most of the time, but for now, it's good.
It's cool in here today.
For now, it's good.
I think it's cool.
I wouldn't say
cool. Don't get hot under the collar. you got 18 layers on, Christian.
I've been working in a cold office this week. Speaking of cold, my office in Washington, D.C., they probably kept it at 65 degrees. I had to keep a shawl in there.
They don't want to sweat. If they get called down to television or something, they don't want to be sweaty.
I think that's valid.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Well, we better get into it here, because we got a lot to talk about tonight. You were at City Council on Monday.
Are we going to play the clip?
We're going to play the clip. Of course we are.
Decorum.
So let's go. Yeah, here we go. This is what happened Monday night.
I guess where I'm going with that is I'm aware of things in Marion, sometimes things I've been involved with, where a person who is a CFO of a county organization contacted a county prosecutor and asked for confidentiality in that organization, and she was promised anonymity, and the very next day she went to work, and this director came to her with all the information. So can we agree that maybe that prosecutor gave the suspect information?
Are you accusing me of something? Are you accusing me of something?
I'll accuse you of something.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You need to handle your case. Is he out of order? Is he recording?
Yeah.
How's he attacking me?
Now, just for the record, decorum was defeated the week before. Only got two positive votes. But that being said, that's your county prosecutor who was sitting in the audience and a Marion resident. You were there. We were sitting right next to each other, Christian. Your thoughts.
So, Scott, and I love how I've heard this clip out seven times. If you go back and listen to the end, I can hear you saying, "What the hell was that?"
No, I didn't.
Play the tape again. Looking at it through
the lens. Why would you bring this up? Nobody said anything all week, and now you bring it up the last time I'm going to play it.
Looking at it through the lens, knowing that the prosecutor was not there as the prosecutor, but as a concerned Marion resident, if any other concerned Marion resident got up and started to yell at another speaker, raise their voice, completely out of order, they would have met the firm hands of a police officer, and they would have been escorted out of the room.
You think?
Or they would have gotten a stern dressing down, and the prosecutor...
There were a lot of people yelling that night. There were a lot of people speaking out of turn.
Yeah, but when if it's different from heckling. People heckle all the time. But, that was pointed, I'm not saying he wasn't provoked. Because, obviously if you accuse someone of something, you are, by definition, provoking them. But that's not the way you should react, especially if you're the Minister of Justice, who is supposed to be level-headed and, administer cases for...
I still don't understand Minister of Justice.
I mean, if I had to call one person in the world a Minister of Justice, the last person it would be our prosecutor. But I think...
Do you not like this man? I'm getting the impression that you don't like this man.
I'm sure he has a great deal of positive qualities, but they've all effectively been obscured from public view. So, I don't know. That's just...
I like that.
Yeah, that was good. That was nice. That was nice.
That's not how I would have reacted in that. If I were...
That's why I said...
What you said.
Yeah.
And I...
What's wrong with that?
There isn't anything wrong with it. I just thought
you critiqued it there, though.
I didn't critique it.
Nobody's brought it up all week.
I just thought it was funny.
It was just a funny point.
Yeah. You know, Scott... you know, heaven forbid we get some levity out of this.
It happened behind me. I could have got whiplash trying to turn around to hear what was going on. It was like a wreck behind me.
I mean, I don't know. Leavitt County.
What did you think?
Of what? The outburst?
No, when you heard it behind you, because you were looking straight ahead as well. The sheriff and the police chief are three feet in front of us.
I was watching the speaker intently, and as he started to turn around and talk about the prosecutor, I sort of had them both in my line of sight. So I, like I said earlier, I wasn't surprised because nothing surprises me anymore. It was at first I was very uncomfortable just because.
Yes, I was uncomfortable as well.
Yes, it was very uncomfortable just because, you know, I get secondhand embarrassment really easily, especially at that meeting. I got secondhand embarrassment.
You think he had secondhand embarrassment? No, he had first-hand embarrassment. He didn't have any embarrassment.
I don't think he had any embarrassment. I think he just does what he does, and, you know, he either gets away with it or he gets sued.
Do you think he wanted to fight? See, I disagree with this.
I don't think he had the stones.
What the hell was that?
There we are. I think the caller... Not the caller.
The speaker, not yet.
I'm sure the speaker may have, but one of my teachers at Harding often used the phrase "all bark, no bite."
So, okay, what do you think, Matt?
I don't know that he would go throw in the first blow. I mean, the man's the prosecutor in a public meeting. I think he's probably got more and more brains than that. And I don't know that he got embarrassed, but I'm sure that once it was all said and done, he was probably sitting there going, "My, oh my God."
At the end of the meeting, when I went to the restroom, they were at it again.
I don't know. Look, I don't know. I figure at some point you're going to have a realization and be like, "Wow, that was pretty rough."
You don't answer these things. Yep, I've said this. You don't do it. You just don't. People are going to call you names when you're in the public eye. Don't answer.
I would just not respond.
When I picked up the phones for my congresswoman, I was called a traitor at least 10 times a week, and I didn't engage. I just said, "Thank you so much. May God bless you and have a great rest of your day." That's what I would say to these people.
Getting called a traitor?
Yeah, because, you know, you always want to maintain the, I don't know what the term is. Higher moral ground, you know. I'm not called, you know, I can be called a traitor all week long, but, you know, I'm not going to stoop down.
See,
level.
I said that at one point during the last kerfluffle around here when somebody came after me. I said, "I'm not going to come down to their level." And boy, you know, I think Matt just said, no, it's not their level or that sort of thing. No, if you're down there in the mud, that's below, that's beneath me. I'm not going to do that.
Yes, even though, you know, Michelle Obama was onto something when she said, when they go low, we go high. But there's another phrase, when they go low, I go lower.
And yes.
That's acceptable in certain situations. I don't think local politics is the place for it. And I'm sure people would have much kinder things to say about the prosecutor had he made a few different decisions in his career. But, for the people that like him, they're always going to like him. The people that don't like him, they're never going to like him.
Well, that's what I said. The only person... Well, I don't know about that. Everybody I talked to this week, whether they liked him or disliked him... thought that was wrong, except for one person who is very tangentially involved in his life. Now, they tried to defend it. But other than that, nobody did. They felt it was wrong.
Yeah, but it's not going to make their opinion of him any... If they like him, you know, they're not going to stop liking him because of this one thing.
No, but I don't think it's good for your history, your record, that sort of thing.
And, you know, especially if you take a look at, in the cases that actually go to trial, the amount of people that your office is actually convicting. You know, I'm sure, you know, that's not great either. So it's, you know.
But how about those press releases?
Oh, boy, you know, dude, you can get a press release, a plea deal. You know, he's the king of those.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, let's go to the state level, local then state. This is breaking news today. This is very interesting. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Amy Acton said Friday she supports Issue 3, the voter ID amendment that will appear on the November ballot, breaking with most elected officials in her party. In response to an inquiry, Acton issued a statement on Friday describing her views. This amendment has overwhelming support from Ohioans across the state, as this doesn't change what is already law. As governor, I will support it, Acton said. At the same time, as both a candidate and governor, I will fight to ensure that all eligible Ohio voters, regardless of party, can access the required identification easily and at no cost, so they can exercise their fundamental right and have their voices heard. Acton's support for Issue 3 puts her in the same camp as Vivek Ramaswamy, her Republican opponent, in the November election. Ramaswamy wrote an op-ed in May backing a voter ID amendment shortly before Republicans first introduced legislative measures and placed it to place it on the ballot. It also puts her at odds with most Democrats. Every Democrat in the State House and Senate who voted on Senate Joint Resolution 10, the official measure that placed Issue 3 on the ballot, voted against it. A handful of Democrats who were present didn't vote at all on SJR 10. And those who have criticized Issue 3 include Ohio Democratic Party Chairperson Kathleen Clyde, and who described the measure as making it more difficult to vote in a July 21st op-ed. State Rep. Allison Russo, who's the Democratic nominee for Secretary of State, voted against SJR 10 in June and delivered a floor speech opposing it. It is highly flawed. It lacks many of the key protections for Ohio's eligible voters, Russo said in her speech. There is clear political motivation for this effort today. It was fast-tracked. It's poorly written. Russo's Republican opponent, State Treasurer Robert Sprague, meanwhile, has said he supports Issue 3, like the rest of the GOP. Acton's comment is the latest example of her selectively staking out a Republican-leaning political position as she runs to replace Republican Governor Mike DeWine, for whom she previously worked as State Health Department Director during the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic. She said in February that she supports work requirements for Medicaid recipients, while in June she was already sharply criticized by the LGBTQ community and some Democrats for saying she supports an Ohio law that bans transgender athletes from girls and women's sports. In the case of Acton's comments on the transgender sports ban, some Democrats defended her position as strategically sound and in line with most Americans. Issue 3, if voters approved it, would add Ohio's photo ID requirement for in-person voting to the state constitution. The amendment wouldn't have any immediate effect, but it would make it harder for the voter ID requirement to be undone in the future. All right. Amy Acton, Robert Sprague, Vivek Ramaswamy, all line up on this.
First and foremost, is on the last point of that wire report you read. The voter ID requirement in the state law would never, ever, ever be undone. You would have to assume that the monster raving loony party on the farthest of the far left would somehow gain a trifecta in the in the state house and in the governor's office and the Supreme Court and undo it. So it's never going to happen. I personally think it's a pointless amendment. I understand the sentiment, but you have to show an ID to vote. I've voted probably 4 or 5 times between primaries and general elections. I've always had to show an ID, or I've had to provide, you know, my driver's license number if I voted absentee or what have you. So it's like the gay marriage amendment from Bush and Karl Rove in 2004. It's meant to turn people out. And I think
here's what Democrats have said, though. Democrats, meanwhile, call the amendment unnecessary and describe it as an attempt by the Republicans to mobilize their voters in what's expected to be a favorable national political climate for Democrats. So why would the Democratic candidate for governor support the issue?
She would support the issue purely to neutralize that line of attack.
She doesn't support it.
You would have to ask her.
Well, but here's good luck.
She has to play a very tough game. Now, this is my personal observation. She has a very hard game to play. I don't think it would have hurt her at all had she said nothing about this, but she has said something, and I think obviously, if you're trying to bring Republicans in your fold, you know, if you're a Democrat in Ohio, have not had much success, you have to expand the base instead of preaching to the choir. You know all the Democrats are already going to vote against it. But, you know, Republicans are using this voter ID stuff, the SAVE Act at the national level, as a rallying cry for their supporters. So by supporting it, Amy Acton has completely neutralize that line of attack, even if she doesn't agree with it, which that's a whole different
ballgame. Well, how does that work for somebody like Alison Russo, who's running for the office that takes care of voter ID, who does not support this? And Alison's line, again, it's highly flawed. It lacks many of the key protections for Ohio's eligible voters. There is clear political motivation for this effort today. It was fast-tracked. It's poorly written. Something Amy Acton now supports.
Again, I think Amy Acton, she would have been fine if she hadn't said anything about it.
But she did.
She did. And I don't agree with it. I'm not going to vote for the amendment. But if that's what she thinks she needs to do in order to win the election, go ahead. But at the same time, if, you know, and I understand you have to make, you sometimes if you're in a very, very tough race, you have to make political calculations that you might not agree with personally. I have seen countless people have to do that. And, you know, it's something that she has to do. I don't agree with it. I understand why she did it. But she certainly could have acted differently. I mean, Alison Russo, like you said, she is second or third up on the ticket, and she doesn't support it. And I think, you know.
So Robert Sprague can now run an ad that says the Democratic gubernatorial candidate agrees with me on voter ID, doesn't agree with Alison Russo, who's running against me, for the job that protects voting in Ohio.
And then Alison Russo's attack, which I guess Amy Acton could have used too, if their campaigns are talking, which they might be, I don't know. Her attack could be, this is already law in the state, the Republicans are just wasting your...
But that's not what she's already said.
It would still be a very potent line of attack. I agree with the contents of the speech she made on the floor of the House when she voted against it. I don't know.
If Democrats have to lie to you to win these offices, got big problems.
I don't particularly think Amy Acton is lying, though, because we have.
So you think she does support it?
I think deep down she probably does.
And you think she does support a transgender sports ban? She does support work requirements for Medicaid.
This is my observation. Well, I think on a surface level, people would probably support work requirements for Medicaid, as they would for other forms of government assistance, even though it's a much deeper problem than that. That's not the point. I think she doesn't have much of a political record, and neither does her opponent. So as these new issues are coming up, she is, you know, having to take a position on them for the first time, right, much like her opponent, and that's that.
Yeah, but here's the problem. It's the symbolism of this.
Yes.
You've got a president right now who says elections are stolen because election law is not tough enough. You've got candidates who are saying this all across the country. And now you've got a Democratic candidate for governor in Ohio agreeing that we need to make this constitutional law, which the Democrats, none voted for it.
Yes, and if I were in charge of her campaign, I'm not sure I would have suggested she go ahead with this.
What do you think, Matt, on this issue?
I mean, I have to kind of agree with Christian, at least on the sentiment that it's pretty much pointless. I mean, every time you go to vote, you have to present, some form of identification. So there's that. But I don't think that Amy Acton responding to it did her any good. I mean, I think she's kind of shot herself in the foot a couple of times now with things she said and things like that. Now, I would assume that she's trying to, I mean, maybe she does believe it, I don't know. Amy Acton's kind of a harder candidate to read, I think. Maybe she's just trying to, centerize or something like that so she can, as Christian said, expand the base.
Do you think this is good? Would you vote for this?
I don't see what the point would be.
Because now it can still be undone. Once you make it part of the Constitution, it can't be fiddled with at all.
But, we have probably most of the laws in the Ohio Revised Code are they're never going away. Like, this is the same logic. Should we put up a constitutional amendment that says murder is illegal? Like, that's never, ever getting undone. There are certain laws that just people, are never going to touch. So
why make it a constitutional law?
Exactly.
Unless you're trying to rally support for your party who believes that elections are stolen.
Exactly. And look, at the end of the day, this is going to make it harder for people to vote who don't have access to a state ID or can't get to a BMV to get one, things like that. It's a total waste of money. I mean, the whole process of sending this to the ballot board and, adding it to, to the copies of ballots and onto computer systems, this all costs money in this all costs a lot of money, and it's being done by the people who pride themselves on being fiscally conservatives, not doing wasteful things on the part of the government, but that's what they're doing.
But you've got the top Democrat here who supports it.
And I disagree with that, with her position on this issue.
I don't necessarily think that she supports it. I mean, I think that she's probably just trying to play to the to the Republicans there.
Do we know how she feels on anything?
I would assume that because she would also recognize that it's kind of a pointless thing, as it's already something you have to do, and training it into the Constitution isn't really going to do anything. And I guess she probably thinks it'll garner her some support amongst the Republican voters.
Probably have two candidates running for governor that don't have a very detailed background in terms of policy and what their positions are. I mean, if you're not totally convinced of Amy Acton's position on this issue, I would raise, and I'm not defending it, but I would raise her opponent, who's just come out basically against data centers, even though he has in his past speeches in the last year, it's been, basically all but love for data centers. So is Vivek's plan on data centers? Does he actually believe what he's saying? I think it's really tough to fit, to really know where these people stand until they either have to defend it on a debate stage or get in front of a crowd that is less than favorable. That makes me go back to the being out there, being accessible, that both candidates need to do so.
You know what I thought about when I was driving over? I thought, here you've got her running mate, David Pepper, former head of the Democratic Party in Ohio. Now, how do you think he feels about issue 3?
I mean, I would assume he's probably going to line up with the rest of the Democrats on that.
Right. How do you think he feels about transgender?
I would assume he's probably going to line up with... I mean, I wouldn't know, I guess.
And how do you think he feels about a Medicaid work requirement?
I'd assume he's probably going to line up with the rest of the party.
Right. Now, here's a guy who's the entire time I've known him, very outspoken, very liberal, very all these things, and now he's running with a lady who, I would guess, disagrees with him on just about everything, or at least says she disagrees with him on everything.
one note.
And he's had to back up on everything. If you ask him a question now, he used to be Mr. Frank. You know, he would tell you whatever he thought. Now it's more along the lines of, well, she said what she said, and then he goes on and tries to bash Ramaswamy.
See, something that I don't quite understand. If you're very closely guarded from a communications perspective, why are these things still happening? If you're, you know, if people in the press, and that's who's doing the reporting, that's who is getting the message out there, if you're not out, if you're not as accessible to them as you should be, and these communications flubs are still coming up, then who are your comms people? I think it's healthy for there to be disagreement on issues, certainly, especially as the Democrats try to grow their base. You know, if you have a big tent party, you're not going to agree with everyone all the time on, you know, issues. And, you know, at a core, she is in line with Democrats on, you know, education, healthcare, protecting Social Security.
How do you feel about her tent ad? Starts out, you see a tent.
No, Scott, I do not watch television.
So I can show it to you. We'll get it to you during the break here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get it to you. You haven't seen it.
Matt,
pull it up. Pull it up. We'll watch it in real time here.
I think I was scrolling. I have a short attention span, too. So I saw the start of it, and I think I saved it on my Facebook, but I never went back.
Well, it's a quick ad. We'll get it done here, right on the air. This is important.
But
because it's her first ad.
Now, speaking of ads, I'm going to pivot here, Scott. I saw...
Well, here we go. I want to hear it, too, at home. Get ready. Here we go. Here's the Amy Acton ad. Okay. Go ahead.
Somewhere off Route 7.
Oh, wait. Back 12. It up a little bit. Back it up to the beginning.
I think it was somewhere off Route 7. I was 12, and we were living in a tent, but it made me tough and determined to find a way out. I waited tables, delivered newspapers, anything to put myself through college and medical school. I don't want anyone to have to struggle like I did. As governor, I'll take on the corruption that's raising our costs and fight for an Ohio where your hard work pays off and you always come first.
There you go. Amy Acton's big money first ad.
I don't see a problem with it. I think it's a good ad.
Do you?
I think it's a... I mean, what's your... I mean, I think okay. It... We've
good ad. Did it change your mind, Matt?
No.
Get you in the Amy I tent, think it, so to speak. Get you in the Amy Acton tent.
I think it weaves her story into what I've heard her talk about on the campaign trail, which is, you know, ending corruption, lowering costs, etc. So, I don't have an issue with it. I mean, is this just like this Seth Walsh ad that you were creeped out by?
No, it's fine. It's fine. He can do what he wants to do.
But,
didn't creep me out. I just thought it was a very strange ad.
I don't think Amy...
Matt, did you think that Seth Walsh ad was a strange ad?
Which?
The one where he's got his campaign manager there at the end. It looks like
No. I didn't like that ad.
There you go. See?
I thought that was not a good ad.
You're the one who likes these things,
see?
Christian.
I mean, you couldn't. I mean, I don't know. It just seems a little strange to have your. I mean, obviously your campaign manager is going to support you. You ought to get some you know, other politician or some, like, you know, just voters to mention that.
And what about the Amy Acton ad? Why didn't that bring in?
It's basically the same thing I've heard her say in every speech. Every speech is the same speech.
But okay, you cannot knock Amy Acton for having a stump speech. In talking points, every single politician on God's green earth has a stump speech.
But every speech I don't know. Every acting speech. Maybe I'm just listening to the wrong ones. I've listened to like six of them. But like all the speeches that I can find publicly available, at least, it's just like, you know, Vivek treats Ohio like a flyover state. He's a billionaire. I grew up homeless. Public schools are good. Libraries are good because they saved her life when she was a kid. Like it's really nothing I find
You know something? Ted Williams announced he was going to run for governor on this show.
Yes.
And he grew up in a tent as well. Yeah, I did not realize this was so popular.
No.
He could have been your governor.
I am of the opinion, and also, speeches cannot be I think, and I'm sure everyone would agree, political speeches should be in-depth policy proposals. Don't focus on the personal. Focus on what you plan to do and how you plan to do it. But the electorate doesn't work that way. They are, you know, a lot of them don't have a college education, or they, you know, they want things straight and to the point. They want people want to be entertained, and they want to hear about people's
personal. Here's the problem. Let me tell you the problem. The problem is, the other day I was talking to somebody who is involved in a union, and a union that normally supports Democrats, and I believe this time they will support the Democrats as well. And I was asking them about the governor's race in particular. And I said, what's your feeling on that? And they're not a political person. No, the first thing they said to me, that ad about Amy Acton taking drugs and drinking, you know, that's a tough one. Everybody has seen it. Everybody has watched it. It plays all the time. She never answers it. She never brings it up. I said when this came out back in April, I believe, that it was going to be a problem. It was going to haunt her. It has, it is, and she still doesn't talk about
now,
it.
Now, Matt, can you pull that ad up? Because I would like to see it.
You haven't seen that ad either?
The Husted ad?
No, the Ramaswamy ad. Yeah. You haven't seen that one?
I should start to watch TV, but is the accusation that she...
No, don't watch TV. It's bad for you.
Is the accusation that she drank and did drugs when she was younger?
This ad plays all the time. This is like every... At night when I'm going to bed, I got the television on. Every commercial break, this thing plays.
Sure. Now, I know about the drugs part. I mean, you could say weed is a drug, and that's now legal in the state of Ohio.
They were probably prescription drugs. I don't know.
If you are of age, who doesn't drink?
I would
say a lot of people do. Like, you know,
the ad's effective.
Go over to the Knights of Columbus right now. You are going to find some...
But they're not running for governor.
You are going to find some folks that are having the time of their life. You know, I think a big question that people ask themselves is, who would I like to have a beer with? Who is more personable? Now, of course, in the race for governor, I would say in the Senate race, if I were of age, I would rather have a beer with Sherrod Brown. I feel like... A ding on someone for drinking.
Oh, this ad's effective, though. And I have heard Democratic politicians say, why doesn't she answer that? That runs all the time.
You know, I have known that she talks about her fundraising a lot, but her, you know, TV ad game, she's got to be waiting for after.
Well, you saw where she's spending that money.
She has to be waiting for after.
No, you saw the
Labor
ad.
Day.
That's where that
Well, I mean, it's... You can't have more than one ad. And are these anti-Amy ads, are they coming from the Vivek campaign, or are they coming from Republican
PACs?
They
could be super PACs.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't she have any super PACs?
I don't know.
And this is another reason. I'm going all over the place. This is why I don't buy fundraising numbers. Is because...
But why does she keep talking about them then?
You'd have to, if you can get in touch with her, I would ask her that question. Scott, I hope you have a running list of everything you're going to ask her.
I have a file. I don't just have a list. I have a file. I have the Amy Acton file.
You know, this ad I cannot find on YouTube.
Really? It's all over the place.
I was seeing if I couldn't just find it on the internet.
You couldn't find up the Amy Acton drug?
The Amy Acton ones, no, I mean, that's what I searched.
Like, is the accusation that she's an alcoholic, or that she...
Oh, it's all kind
of... That she enjoys a glass of wine with her dinner.
Oh, no.
Which, and even if you attack someone, let's say that... Any candidate for any statewide office has had a drinking problem. Who in the state of Ohio has not known someone that's had a drinking problem or has had a drinking problem themselves? So, and especially in this age of addiction and overcoming addiction, is that something that you really think you can knock people for and make a good at? Like, I don't know.
I might have found it.
All right. What's it look like?
It's an ad that's part of a 10-minute video, so I don't know that this is actually...
Skip through it.
But
yeah, we don't need all that.
Let's take a look at the ad first. Yeah.
Show Scott. Make sure it's the one.
Yeah, let me see if it's the one.
I don't know that that's the one.
No, I don't think this is it.
That's the, I don't know.
Liberal Amy Acton.
Oh, that's such a shame. She's liberal. I mean, like, I don't understand, and I've never... Why is it such a crime for a Democrat to be a liberal, but it's not a crime for a Republican to be a conservative? I mean, just, you see the... the Republicans run brilliant ads, even if they're not true. They run brilliant ads. I don't know why we can't get our own Roger Stone and Lee Atwater. I mean, I
well, really Lee Atwater's dead.
I didn't even know he was sick.
He's been dead for about 30 years.
You're talking about
Bush's
Lee Atwater, the political consultant.
Yeah. He died in about 1990, I believe. 1990, 1991. Long before you were born. Boy, I'll tell you, this tent ad is everywhere.
Hey, that's the goal.
That's good, I guess.
That's the goal. That's okay. Ad money. But, Scott, I want to change gears on and talk about something positive politically, if you don't mind. Because, you know, we're big fan of the negativity. Oh, look, you see, Amy Acton speaks to over 400 in Butler. She's places, Scott, and you've been saying that she's not places. She is places. She's in Butler County. That's a swing rural county, home of Miami University, might I add.
So you thought the 10 ad was good, though. I'm shocked at this. Everybody I've ever seen who I've talked to who's seen that ad does not like it.
It delivers her message, and that's what an ad's supposed to do. I'm sure it could have been flashier and snappier, but
it's even called Tent.
I feel like most political ads have a dull name. It's okay. If a candidate's standing in a cornfield talking about their policies, I think the ad will probably be called Cornfield.
You know, I'm shocked though that this ad that runs all the time is you can't find it. It's a fascinating ad.
Yeah, that is that is interesting.
Well,
I got to turn on television.
Go ahead.
What do we got here?
So I was in Morrow County the other night, and that is, the Morrow County Democrats have a heck of an operation. I was at their annual JFK dinner. It was headlined by Alison Russo and John Kulowitz, as well as Chris Gibbs, who's the chair of the Dems Rural Caucus. He's from Shelby County, and they double like so. It was at Highland High School. This was 45 minutes away in the next county over. One of the more conservative counties, if you look at how they vote in, you know, the Republican primaries for governor and such. I mean, that's how you do an event for Democrats in a small town. The speakers were great. It was well attended. They went from 60 people attending last year to 120 attending this year. It was a great event. And something, and I've sort of gone down this path a few times tonight, Chris Gibbs, who was the chair of the Ohio Dems Rural Caucus, he used to be the chairman of the Shelby County Republican Party. Now he's the chairman of the Shelby County Democratic Party. He's been a farmer his entire life, and his whole thing is doing listening tours, going around to small towns and just bringing people together and listening to what their concerns are and trying to bridge that divide. His whole thing was, oh my gosh, why am I blanking? It was, oh my gosh, this is completely, here it is. We already have a base. We need to stop preaching to the choir, and we need to start expanding our base. And we're not going to expand our base by talking about the most divisive social issues. We're not going to expand our base by doing any of that. Look at Marion County, for instance. We as Democrats have not won a head-to-head election in the city since 2015. Scott Schertzer, Mark Russell, the rest. On the county level, I think, go back to 2012 with Tim Bailey, Jan Draper, maybe, though I think she ran unopposed. The things that we're doing, the messaging, and I've been saying this since I became active locally, that we do not message well. We, you know, should not give up our principles and what we believe in, but we can certainly change how we share our principles in ways that appeal to more people.
But for an undecided voter, Matt, you're undecided in this gubernatorial election. What's your thoughts on it? Now, we're less than 90 days away from this thing.
Thoughts on the election as a whole?
The gubernatorial race.
Could
you say you're a Sherrod Brown guy, right?
Sherrod Brown.
Okay, so now for the gubernatorial race.
I appreciate that.
I mean,
I don't know. I will not be voting for Vivek. I do not like Vivek. Trump shill that whole thing.
Okay.
But I could vote for Amy Acton, but I don't know. I don't think her campaign's run all that well, it seems to me. I don't think she's done a whole lot of talking. I mean, I've mentioned before, I mentioned in this show, that I think all of her speeches are the same speech, and there's nothing really of substance in there.
Why vote for Sherrod Brown, not for Amy Acton?
Well, Sherrod Brown's been in office for a while. He's got experience. I mean, he did things when he was in office. I mean, you know, I think Sherrod's you know, at least better than Husted. Husted is a very poor candidate.
And Amy Acton? Just no experience.
Yeah, I mean, Amy Acton has no experience, like I said, and I think that her campaign has just not been run well. I mean, I don't know about the campaign itself necessarily, but she hasn't done a good job of getting herself out and about, I think.
There you are. This is a vote they could have.
It is a vote that they could have, and I think part of the strategy on the, you know, for the Ohio Democrats is that people just don't like Vivek, so that's part of the strategy, in hopes that they either don't vote for him or vote for the libertarian Don Kissick, who, if you're like members of our city council, for instance, who don't like Vivek, there is a great libertarian candidate by the name of Don Kissick.
You know something I want to say here. Here's what I don't understand. Why does she keep saying, "We're tied, we're tied, we're tied, we're tied"?
What candidate wouldn't say that?
You want to say I'm in the lead? I mean, this, we're tied with 90 days to go.
Well, I think by saying we're in the lead, it's a sense of complacency. It's a sense of, oh, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, but McCauley says we're tied as, ooh, that's not good.
Well,
Amy Acton says we're tied like, yeah, we got him.
Well, I think if
that doesn't mean you're winning.
Well, if you're a Republican and you're tied, yeah, it's troublesome because Trump won the state by 11 and the last candidate to run for governor won by 30 points. If you're a Democrat, any forward movement is positive movement.
Okay. You know, I don't know. Day after Election Day, I hope people are still singing this song.
I mean, I don't think I'll be in town the morning after the election, but I'll certainly call you.
I'll
be celebrating. I'll be celebrating, Scott.
Governor Ramaswamy?
No, I'll be celebrating Governor Acton and Senator Brown and...
You think? Are you confident?
Attorney General Kulowitz, Secretary
confident?
Russo.
Confident?
Confident.
You are.
Congressman Brian Poindexter.
Are you?
Who's going
now,
to beat,
wait a second. I don't know about that.
Who's going to beat Max
Miller? I don't know about that. We'll get into that next hour. But no, you're confident in these.
I'm confident. I think Sherrod Brown has the edge. I think the governor's race is a coin flip.
You didn't mention Mr. Walsh there.
I just mentioned the top three, Scott. I think I'm...
No, you said Kulowitz, you said Russo, you said all the...
They're fresh on the mind.
Walsh is going to win, too?
Walsh is going to win, and that Blackwell will win her race. Jennifer Breiner, she's going to hang on for another term. She may be my favorite candidate on the ballot this
There's
year.
There's some names in there. I'm not really sure. What do you think, Matt? Give these predictions credence.
I mean, I think the race is going to be pretty close, and I do hope that it's pretty good and well a sweep. But I wouldn't say I'm confident.
Before we go to break, you know, just to show you the days when politics were fun, I watched now see, this is how it used to be done. I watched a program the other day on John Kennedy. This is why people like John Kennedy. This was a campaign song. Frank Sinatra did his campaign
you
song.
You don't say.
That's big time right there. And this was what it used to be like. See, this, people were hopeful in those days.
Is voting for Jack, 'cause he's got what all the rest lack. Everyone wants to back Jack. Jack is on the right track, 'cause he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. 1960's the year for his high hopes. Come on and vote for Kennedy. Vote for Kennedy. We'll come out on top. Oops, there goes the opposition girl. Oops, there goes the opposition girl. Oops, there goes the opposition girl. Pop. KENEDY. Jack's the nation's favorite guy. Everyone wants to back Jack. Jack is on the right track, cause he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. 1960's the year for his high hopes. Come on and vote for Kennedy. Vote for Kennedy. Keep America strong. Kennedy, he just keeps rolling.
Back in the days when politics were fun, Frank Sinatra, and you notice he didn't say a darn thing about a tent. All right, we're coming back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Webpage, crtmechanicals.com.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years,